Oh man, I love this song. Every time I hear it, I can remember where I was and who I was with. It reminds me of this. Does this sound familiar? Music is like a scent. It can instantly transport you to another time and place. I ask my guests to dish about their song with the memories that go with it. I'm your host, Tiffany Mason. I have a passion for music and a curiosity about how a song affects someone and why. Turn up your radio and let's explore Memories with a Beat. Hello, Podcast Land. Thank you for joining me for another episode of Memories with a Beat. I know you guys saw the song title. I mean, should I just do a shout out to all the Swifties out there now? I think I will. Shout out to all the Swifties. Okay, you guys. Who went to go see the Eras Tour movie? I will be honest. I know some of Taylor Swift's early music. I remember seeing her very young on a stage. I remember her very curly hair, very long. And then we went to the Taylor Swift Eras Tour movie. Y'all, I'm officially a Swiftie. Okay. So, and I'm glad that we're revisiting the song that my guest Priscilla has picked today, because one of the other moms at the movie had said, this is one of the songs I listen to a lot. And I remember thinking, okay, I've got to remember to pull this song up. And I kind of had forgotten about it. So this was a refresher for me. So I know you guys all saw, we're going to do All Too Well. And I'm super excited for you, Priscilla, to be joining me. So welcome to Memories with a Beat.
Thanks for having me. I'm really excited to be here and talk about Taylor Swift and All Too Well specifically.
I love that you ended on a Taylor Swift song because you were slightly adamant, like, I want to pick a Taylor Swift song, but I'm not going to. And I love that at the end of the day, you just had to be true to who you are. And you're like, okay, bite the bullet. I'm going to talk about Taylor Swift.
Right. It's so funny. I feel like this year especially, I love Taylor Swift, have loved her for years and years. And This year especially, it just feels like everything is Taylor Swift. And so when we talked a couple weeks ago about me doing the show, I was like, I'm not going to choose Taylor Swift. But everybody who knows me knows I love Taylor Swift. And I was like, I can't be labeled as this one trick pony who only loves Taylor Swift. I love all kinds of music. And so I immediately said, no, not going to be a Taylor Swift song. I'm going to pick something more unique and cool and under the radar. And I could not do it. There were so many other songs to choose. And I just kept coming back to All Too Well. And then finally I said, you know, life's too short to pretend that you're not obsessed with Taylor Swift. So All Too Well. That's what we're
just
doing.
Just own it.
Yep. I love it. I love it.
Well, I think that that's probably a wise song choice because, you know, we're talking about memories that go with songs. And so if you've always been a Taylor Swift fan, that makes sense that you would lean into a Taylor Swift song.
Yeah. I mean, one of the cool things about Taylor Swift and how she relates to me and my life, you know, bringing it back to myself, is that I am the same age as Taylor Swift. And so When she started making music, I was her same age. And so going through my life, I've always had this soundtrack of Taylor Swift along with me. And so she has 10 studio albums right now that are original. She's got re-releases, but, you know, that's different. Yes. But those came out like in different times during my life. And so it's fun to look back on those albums and where I was in my personal, you know, life or where relationships were or friendships or school or anything like that. And so it's fun to look back. It's such a nostalgic like road to go down for me with Taylor Swift because we've kind of grown up together is how it feels.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking in my head, that I have to imagine that some of the things that she was pouring her heart out about were some of the things you could easily relate to, especially if you guys are the same age.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, now she was also very famous, very fast, and I have never had any kind of fame. So there's a lot of differences in our lives as well.
You don't say.
But yes, yeah, those relationships. I know. It's crazy.
Well,
right?
For anyone who does not know, this song, All Too Well, that we're going to talk about today, Priscilla and I, is actually 10 minutes long. I was surprised to find out that she really originally released a 5-minute and 29-second version, And her fans were like, we know there's more. We know there's more. And so finally she let her guard down and she felt comfortable enough to release the 10-minute version. And if you guys are wanting to check it out, of course, you know, I'm going to have it in the show notes and on the playlists. But it does come from Taylor Swift's 2012 album Red, along with, you know, a million other amazing songs that Taylor Swift has put out. She just the movie. And then shortly before the movie, I had watched the Netflix documentary on her and just found it so intriguing. And the fact that she has really had to persevere through a lot of pushback and a lot of judgment.
Yeah.
Just gave me that much more respect for her. So enough about Taylor. I want to talk about Priscilla and how this song weaved its way into your life. So Priscilla, if you would go into, you know, how you know the song, when you learned about it, and, you know, the special places that it holds in your heart.
Yeah. So like I mentioned, you know, she and I are the same age. And so when Red came out, I had already kind of devoured her three albums prior to that. And I had friends who were also obsessed with Taylor Swift. And so when Red came out, Red was really her first album that I like went to Target and bought it right away and was there the first day you could be there. And I bought Red lipstick at the same time that I bought the album. And then I listened to it nonstop. And so when this song comes on, when any song really from Red comes on, but All Too Well being kind of this standout song in the album, when any of those songs come on, I'm immediately taken back to, I think it was my senior year of college. And I spent, I don't know, I went to UNF here in Jacksonville, Florida, and I spent a lot of time driving around looking for a parking spot in the parking garage that year. And so I was about 22 when this album came out, and I spent a lot of time driving around the UNF campus looking for parking. I didn't live on campus, so I looked for parking a lot. And at that time, I think there must have been construction or something because it was so hard to find a parking spot. And so I would go early and I would just drive around looking for a spot and I would listen to Red on repeat. And so All Too Well was just one of those songs that I went back to and played over and over and over again while I was driving to and from school. And so when I listen to it now, that's where I'm taken. And it's funny because you mentioned that there are kind of two versions of All Too Well.
Yes.
There's the album version that came out in 2012, which was, yeah, like it's a longer song. It's about 5.5 minutes, 6 minutes. It's a longer song. And it's so packed with content. Like the lyrics in there are so dense. And so listening to it as a 22-year-old to a 6-minute version of it, it was like a feast, the 6-minute version. And I remember thinking, like, this woman is my age and she is writing poetry and putting it in this music, and it is like striking such a chord. But then it's funny because then you know, pretty quickly after Red was released, it started, she must have said it somewhere, I don't remember where it became public knowledge, but that there was more content that didn't make that song. Mm-hmm. And so people who followed Taylor Swift knew that there was more to go for that song. There were verses that didn't get included. And so it was always this like missing piece that we always wanted to hear. And I remember thinking like, will we ever get to hear that? And so when she announced that she was releasing the full version, it was this huge moment of like, oh, we finally get to hear all of these things that didn't get included the first time around. And then you hear that and you're like, I thought the first version was a feast of lyrics and, you know, poetry, but this 10-minute piece of art is so much bigger. And so it's just, it's funny to look at a song that has these two different versions that are the same, but are also completely different in my mind because of the distance between them when they were released.
Well, I think it was probably unintentional, but you're talking about how there's so much jam packed into that first version, and it gave you guys all this time to like digest and ruminate and memorize and sing along and feel. And then all of a sudden it was like this encore.
Yeah.
Like, but wait, it gets even better. Like, cue all the Swifties.
Right.
And I just, like you guys had been waiting for it, the anticipation, and like here it finally was. Like, I just can't even imagine.
Yeah, it was definitely a treat. I did feel very like lucky that it was a song that I had been so obsessed with beforehand and that we were getting this like treat. And I'm, you know, the newer Swifties, the, you know, younger ones who maybe weren't around during Red that were excited for it. I was like, you guys don't even know. Those of us who've been listening since Red was released, we've known about this and we've been waiting for 9 years and now we're getting it. And it's just very cool. Yeah. Like it was just a very cool situation to be in. So yeah, when I think of nostalgia in music, I just think of Red. I think of All Too Well. And it's just hard for me to go anywhere else with that.
Yeah. Now, what kind of car did you have while we're driving around listening to Taylor Swift? And was it CD at this point?
So it was a CD. It was the last car that I had that had a CD player in it. And it was a, it was actually a new car. It was a used car, but it was a new to me car. It was a Sonic, a Chevrolet Sonic, and it was bright orange. Which I don't usually like colored cars. I am a black car girl, but it was a great deal. And so I had to do it. But it was an orange Sonic and I would drive. And yeah, I had black leather interior, which was really fancy at the time. Okay. I was very like proud of that. And I had this CD player and listened to Red. Literally, I don't remember any other albums in that car. I really just listened to Red.
So I have to imagine you didn't have the 6-disc changer then.
I don't think it did. I think it was just a one CD. I think it was just one CD. Yeah.
So you had to choose wisely.
But,
and you,
you know, my
wisely.
Parents' car had that one. Yeah. But even if there had been 6 discs, I still would have only put Red in there. Maybe I would have put Speak Now and Fearless, but really it was Red. Yeah.
So have you ever seen her in concert?
Yes. So I've seen her four times.
Wow.
I saw her. I'm pretty proud of this. I saw her in her first week of headlining a show. And so she back in, I want to say it was 2009, she was on the Fearless tour and she came to Jacksonville and I got a ticket like the day before. Someone gave me a ticket. It was so random.
No.
Yeah. A friend of mine is a local DJ. And so he like a radio DJ. And so I was kind of like on his list of people when they had tickets that needed to be used. He would call me and say, hey, we have a ticket for this. And so somehow I got a ticket from him the day before to go see her in concert, which was so fun because I loved her. And I was like, oh my gosh, yes, please. And I think that must have been right after Fearless was released. And so that was really fun. And then I saw her, you know, I was in college during Speak Now and during Red. And so I didn't go to either of those shows because when you're in college, you have no money, or at least I had no money. Yeah. And so it just wasn't even an option. And she didn't come to Jacksonville, so I would have had to travel. And that was just too hard. But for the 1989 tour and the Reputation tour and then Eras tour, I was able to travel to a nearby city and see her for all three of those shows. And hopefully I'll see the Eras show again. Who knows? We'll see.
Yeah, man, it was so good in theater. I didn't really know what to expect. You know, we all had I had a shirt that said in my mom era and I have a 12-year-old. And so her and all of her friends dressed up in all their sparkly things. And I would say I officially fell in love with Taylor Swift. I mean, I already loved her from like Tim McGraw and some of the earlier stuff. But wow. And I don't know, I just like must have been under a rock. I didn't realize that she had released all these other albums, and even more impressed to know that she writes most of her music. So that she is incredible.
Yeah, she writes everything herself. Mm. I mean, she works with co-writers sometimes, but I mean, it is all her, which I do find so impressive, especially when you look at the lyrics, especially from All Too Well. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, she's writing these lyrics that are not, they're not like frivolous lyrics.
Right.
You know, she's got pop songs that are a little more fun. Like, you know, we're never, ever getting back together. Like that's a fun song. But even if you analyze those lyrics, they're pretty intense. There are some lyrics in there that are really well written, but then you look at All Too Well and other songs that are more poetic like that. And you really are kind of, I'm blown away by just her talent and her poetry.
I would agree with that 100%.
That goes along with these pop hooks.
I love the creativity and I love when there's like this, it doesn't necessarily have to be underlying, but I love when there's a more complex idea underneath. Like I love all the intricacies to the things that she is pulling in. So yeah, I just impressed.
Right. She's so good. Well, and the more you get to know her music, the more you notice those things, because she pulls in things from other songs. Mm. And she'll pull in chord progressions that she used in a different song that she wants to relate back to. And the outro of, I saw something today on the internet and someone said, oh my gosh, I just realized the outro of this song is the intro to this song. And they're on two different albums written in two different times that she pulls together.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah. And she's just so... it's so intentional. It's all done so intentional. And I really think it's a, yeah, it's such an art form for her. And it's such a, mm-hmm, I don't know, it's just all a puzzle and it all works together and it's all good together and on its own.
And it makes you feel, well, it makes me feel.
I could really
feel,
just talk about her.
I appreciate that. I feel cool when I sing the words and like, I know, cause I'm all about the story, right?
Yeah, me too.
I know the words, I know the story. And then I'm like, and did you see what she did there?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. And you go, oh, did you notice this? Did you notice? She said, I kept you like, mm-hmm, an oath. You broke me like promise. Like, you know, you hear these things and you go, you're like, did you notice that? Hey, yeah. Did you see that? Do you understand how great she is?
Yeah.
It's not just a pop song. Like it's so much bigger than a pop song. Yeah.
Yes.
I love it.
Yes. Well, and also in that documentary, I learned that, well, and I kind of knew a little bit of like the Kanye West thing, but even before then, when people are like, you're not going to make it, you're not deserving, you're not talented enough. And her perseverance and tenacity.
Yeah.
Now what? Now they're calling it Taylor Swift economic stimulus package.
Yeah.
So now what?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Well, and you just think about, I mean, I think about it because I was her age when she was going through all of this. And so, you know, women just in general get a little bit more pushback sometimes in certain situations.
Yep.
So for her to be so good at such a young age, there's going to be a lot of pushback on that because people want to hold her to a higher standard. And then the Kanye stuff happened. And the way that she had to deal with that, I think really affected where her career was going to go, because she could have easily taken it so personally and, you know, bit back, and it would have been probably a completely different story. But she handled that situation with a lot of grace, and then she let it play out in her music. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's a very mature way to handle it as a kid who I would not have handled it that well. I would have definitely been crying on stage if Kanye West had come and taken a microphone from me. I would have been like, oh my gosh, this is so cool. And then I would have started crying.
Yes, she was very mature about it. And I love that her music has given them the old middle finger now. So now what?
Yes. Yeah, exactly. She's just letting it say, she's letting her career talk. She's letting, you know, the art talk for her, which is speaking loudly. So
agreed. Yep. Which is, it's her speaking out. See what I did there. Okay. So you said that you were listening to this with some of your friends. Like, do you remember always telling your mom in the car, like, come on, can't we listen to the Taylor Swift CD? You know, what are some of those memories like as far as this song? And did you have other friends that were like, oh, that's one of my favorites too?
Yeah. So I was in college when this music was coming out. And so I was spending a lot of time with friends going to like late movies and, you know, lots of drives in the car and, you know, going to and from school. Like I said, a lot of time in school, a lot of headphones, you know, walking through campus, listening to these things.
Oh, sure.
And so when I think of like how this connects to my friends, I have a close friend who is also a Swiftie, and he and I have been friends since we were children, very, very young. And so we always would go and buy the albums together and then sit in the car and listen to them and talk about them. And we were, you know, each other's like Swiftie friend. And so it's fun because when I think about it, I do think about him being the person that I always talked about Taylor Swift to. I had other friends who thought she was fine, but they weren't really, they didn't really see her for what I believe her to be as far as an artist.
Yeah.
And so I never went to them because I was like, y'all don't appreciate this as well as, you know, I do. And so it was always me and my friend John. And we would sit and talk about how great she was and listen to it over and over and over again and pick apart the lyrics. So that's really a lot of where those the memories that come up with that, a lot of them are him and I having these deep, you know, intense conversations as 22-year-olds who are just about to graduate from college, thinking we're so smart because we're you know, analyzing this album or this song. So
now when you would get the CDs, I always have to ask, would you take the leaflet out and try to learn all the words? Or was it more important to maybe just like look at the pictures and kind of sift through it as you're like absorbing the music?
Yeah. So I have always been like a very musical person. And this is one of these weird things. I feel like I learn lyrics really, really, really easily. And lyrics really matter a lot to me. And I was always pulling out the leaflets, looking at the music. Taylor Swift does a really good job of putting Easter eggs in her content that accompanies her music. So whether it's a music video or a leaflet with the lyrics. And so she always is like very intentional about putting that in there to make you want to go read it. So I would go read it for the Easter eggs, but I was also reading it to learn the lyrics so that I could sing along in the car without having to, you know, look at the lyric or something like that.
Now, did you and John carpool to college?
No, we actually went to separate colleges, but we did a lot of like going to movies together at that time. And like, we just were in the car together a lot. Mm-hmm. And so that's why we were listening to Taylor Swift.
Yeah.
All the time. Or just constantly texting about it, listening to it on our own, but then having these like long theological conversations about Taylor Swift.
Now, did you guys ever have like jam out sessions, but more like singing along sessions where like the windows are down and you guys are just singing at the top of your lungs because you just cannot get enough?
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I do that now. I slightly turn the music down when I get to a stop sign or to a red light just to be considerate of the people next to me. But I am still in my mid-30s and singing with, you know, voice up with the windows down. But yeah, we used to do that back then all the time. I used to do it alone in the car. We would do it, you know, we were both driving somewhere. Yeah, Taylor Swift, her music is really great to yell. And this song, All Too Well, is so emotionally driven that screaming this song is therapeutic. It's just so good. It's such a good like sad girl song, and I love a sad girl song. Yeah. And this whole album is, you know, it's a very autumnal album, and so it's All Too Well is a very good sad girl like sit in your feels, you know, song, which is my favorite kind of music.
Okay, so we're gonna go into some sticky territory. Does it remind you of anybody?
It's so funny because it doesn't. It's funny because I don't relate to it in a way, in the sense that I had a relationship that mirrored the one she's talking about in the song. It's more of the feelings resonate with me, right, if that makes sense. There's a line in it that says, time won't fly. It's like I'm paralyzed by this. There was a lot of time in my college life where I just wanted to get through it. I just wanted to move on and to be in the next stage. And so those kind of feelings, even though they weren't related to a relationship, really hit home with me. And so it's funny, I don't have a situation where I'm like, oh man, that was that like, you know, perfect love story that crashed and burned and left me, you know, crying on the side of the road. Like I definitely had heartbreak, but it wasn't the same type of relationship that this was. But I definitely think it was much more that the feelings that she describes really resonated with me, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. It's been said on the podcast that music has a way of evoking emotion within. And so it's like, you know, it can be sitting there kind of idle, and then all of a sudden the song comes along and, you know, can pull that emotion out of you. So I completely can see how, you know, you're relating to the emotion that she's feeling, it's like when you mourn something, right? You can mourn the loss of a person. You can mourn the loss of moving. You can mourn the loss of losing a job. Like there's multiple things you can mourn, but nonetheless, it's mourning. And so it's the same thing where you were kind of having this desire to move on and like, let's get this, you know, life going. Let's go to the next stage. And she was saying the same thing, like, I'm feeling paralyzed, but, you know, I want time to start moving again.
Yeah, I think it's one of the things that she does well with her songwriting is she makes, like, her music is all very relatable, but we're all so different Like people, we all go through vast experiences, mm-hmm. but she does something pretty remarkable by taking the root of those experiences and putting that into music. So I think she writes in a way that allows you to relate to something, even if you are not in a mirroring situation, because she goes deeper than the situation. She goes into the emotion.
Yeah. No. Well said. Yeah. Well, that being said, I'm kind of curious, what are the lyrics that really resonate with you? So you said the one about, you know, time is flying, but she feels paralyzed. What else? What else sticks out to you in this song? Or what line do you really crescendo on that you're like, oh, here it is. Here's my line. I'm going to sing it really loud, because I know I have pieces like that in some songs.
Yeah, there's a part in, I guess this song is also structured not in like verse, chorus, bridge, chorus, out. Like it's not a very normal structure. Mm-hmm. And so I sometimes have a hard time placing where stuff is, because it's just, it's more like free flowing. But in one of the bridges, she, you know, she's talking about this relationship that's broken up and her, like kind of those last couple conversations or interactions with this person before it's fully closed. And she has this section that says, "You call me up again just to break me like a promise, so casually cruel in the name of being honest." And I just think that that is like, I mean, I've said it so many times, but like poetry. I mean, you call me up again just to break me like a promise. Like that by itself is just, you know exactly what she's talking about. You know exactly what kind of conversation that was, that it's almost like, why do you need to call me again? Like, you're just going to break me again. Like that promise that you made to me that now is no longer relevant. Yeah. And then the line, so casually cruel in the name of being honest, that can apply to so many situations. I mean, so many relationships. I know that I am a very honest person, and sometimes that can be cruel to be so honest to someone. And you have to kind of figure out what's worth saying and what's actually better to keep to yourself, because the reality is being honest is maybe not the right situation, or being so honest is maybe not the right, you know, answer to the problem. And so I just love that. So casually cruel in the name of being honest.
I love that they're not really opposite words, but it is interesting that usually most people aren't casually cruel, right? Normally we're like aggressive when we're cruel.
Yeah.
But instead it's like, you can picture someone being so casually cruel.
Yeah. But I'm just being honest though. And it's like using that as your, using that, but like using that as your excuse to be mean and to break someone. Oh, okay. But it's honest. No. So I love that line. Mm-hmm. There's just so much. It's so dense. There's the verses. She builds these stories. She builds these scenes.
Imagery.
Imagery. She talks about walking into, you know, a house and seeing the things on the counter and talking to his family and hearing his childhood stories. And she really puts you in that place in your mind. I mean, she really builds the world for you.
Yeah.
And then you get into the more abstract as you go later into the song. It becomes more abstract, at least in this original 6 minute version. Mm-hmm. I mean, in the chorus, the part of the song that we continue to revisit again and again is this idea of, you know, you were there, I was there, and I remember it. And I like the idea of like, this is ending, but certainly you remember how good it was. Like you were there. You remember how good it was. I remember how good it was. And because I remember how good it was, that's why it hurts even more that it's ending now. And so like, I love that idea of, don't pretend like it didn't happen. Don't pretend like you forget how good it was, because it was really good. That's why this is so hard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I love everything that you're saying. Completely agree with everything that you're saying. You guys, I met Priscilla at Podcasters, Jacksonville Podcasters Unite. If you're in the area of Jacksonville, Florida, you've got to check it out. It's a fun event. It's a free event for all podcasters to come out, chit chat with each other, you know, whatever aspect you are in of the podcasting world. And Priscilla happens to be with Buzzsprout. And for those of you who don't know, because I didn't know, Buzzsprout is headquartered here in Jacksonville, Florida. Like, how freaking cool is that? And they are so ridiculously approachable and nice. And Priscilla and I got speaking at one of those events. And I was like, hey, would you want to be on the podcast? So, and Priscilla, of course, was just a great participant. Priscilla, do you want to tell everybody, you know, kind of what you do with Buzzsprout, your role there, just, you know, wrapping things up?
Yeah. So Buzzsprout, for anyone listening who doesn't know, you know, there's a lot of technical stuff that goes on behind podcasting. And so one of the things you kind of have to sort through as you start a podcast is where you're going to host your audio files. And so Buzzsprout is a hosting platform podcasters will use kind of like their home base for their podcast. And so we're headquartered here in Jacksonville. We have podcasters all around the world who use Buzzsprout for their podcasts. And I'm the head of our support team. So I work with a team of dedicated people who love podcasters, who love helping people get started and teaching and supporting podcasters. And so we work each day with our podcasters to help them get everything set up, help them, you know, give them feedback on their episodes, give them, you know, tips for the right equipment to use, all of that kind of stuff. We really work with our podcasters one-on-one to get them started. And so, yeah, that's what I do at Buzzsprout.
Yeah. And I remember in our conversation, I was like, yeah, Priscilla, how am I going to get an affiliate link? And then you're like, oh, you can just do this. And I was like, okay. So I came home, I did it. So that being said, you guys, I do have an affiliate link for Buzzsprout. And as a podcast producer, when I get new clients, I would say Libsyn or Buzzsprout. But once I got to know you guys, I mean, the customer service is great. I have two clients that use Buzzsprout and I've had to reach out to Buzzsprout on their behalf. The customer service has been amazing. And so if you are thinking about starting a podcast and if you were my client, I would say go to Buzzsprout. So I'm going to throw my affiliate link. Yes, I get a kickback, but it is really what I would tell my clients to go do as well.
And one thing I will mention about the affiliate link is if you sign up with the affiliate link, you will get a $20 kickback, but so will anyone who signs up as well. If they go to a paid plan, then they'll get a kickback as well. So it benefits both parties. So if you're considering it, use the affiliate link. It's a good deal.
So I hope you guys take advantage of it. Check out the show notes for the song All Too Well. Priscilla, thank you so much for your time today. I really loved our conversation.
Yeah, I did too. Thank you so much for having me.
And with that, Podcast Land, I hope that this conversation sticks with you like the memories to your favorite song. Podcast Land, thank you so much for listening. If you had a few memories of your own pop up with this episode, make sure to take a screenshot, tag me on social, Tiffany Mason, or Virtually You, and share those memories. I know y'all are listening, and I'd love to hear the memories you were reminded of with this song. Also, would you do me a favor and share this episode with someone you think would enjoy it? This is the best way you can help me to grow my audience. Can't wait to dive into my next guest's Memories with a Beat. Hit subscribe now. You don't want to miss the next episode.